This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Eden, I am so excited to have you back on the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. This is your third episode with me, and you are a recurring guest for the year. So she's going to be on once a quarter, and we are kicking off this season all about marketing because Eden is the marketing expert. She's also the Pinterest expert and the systems and strategy expert. And we have so many amazing episodes we've done and that are to come that are all about these incredible things that you offer. So can you introduce yourself to those who do not know and who are listening for the first time, what you do, and also about your education business too, and what we're going to talk about today.
Oh my gosh. Yes. One, that was the nicest intro ever. So thank you. I'm so excited to be a reoccurring guest. I'm like, this is the most I've ever been on one singular podcast. So like, it's so exciting. But I'm Eden. I am a destination wedding photographer turned business coach, and I specialize in helping creative entrepreneurs and photographers build sustainable businesses that they love so that they can live a life that they love. So the TLDR of it, I love helping photographers better their skill set, like through artificial light, harsh light. I do a lot of teaching on kind of the topics within photography that everyone loves to hate, to things like systems, strategy, using data, personal branding, all of those things to better our business and better the way that we interact with our clients so that you can earn really good money and also have a lot of time off. So that's a little bit about me and what I do. And I have been doing coaching and consulting for several years now, but like full time the last couple years. And yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to learn from me. From we have like very, very limited one-on-one offerings at this point, but you can work with me one-on-one throughout the year, or I have a plethora of online courses and a bunch of freebies. Like everything I just mentioned is a freebie on my site. It's on my homepage. I'm like, if you take anything from this podcast episode, go sign up and get yourself like a bunch of freebies. I just had someone on my podcast and they were like, do you understand how much you give away for free? And I was like, thank you. That's the best compliment ever. I'm just Eden Strader on everything. So if you just go to edenstrader.com, S-T-R-A-D-E-R.com, you'll find all the freebies and assets there.
Perfect. And I'll have everything linked down below for you guys in the description. So Eden, let's just jump right into it. We are going to be talking about marketing. How do you start building a marketing plan for your photography business?
Such a good question. So I think marketing, first of all, gets like a bad rap because it can be really overwhelming to people. And when marketing is overwhelming, it just means that you don't understand what to do, which is what we're going to talk about today, because truly it is pretty straightforward. Plus side to having things like algorithms is that it's basically an equation and it's like, hey, do this, this is going to work. And then, you know, you move into this, then do this, this equals this. So what's nice about all of the social media platforms is that they all have different systems on how they work and they all work. And so that's like the first thing that I want you to take from this podcast episode is that like every single social marketing tool works. Facebook ads work, Instagram works, Pinterest works, SEO works. There's not, you know how you like log into Instagram and you'll see an ad immediately that's like, this one tip is going to change your business. This is how you book 10,000 clients. No, there's no like one, there's no like get rich quick scheme when it comes to marketing. And two, there's not just one tool that works. They all work. So I want you to really think about your personality and what social medias you like ingesting, that you like being on, if you like being the star of the show, if you like writing, if you like recording videos, like what actually sounds fun to you, because you get to choose what's going to be fun and make it work for you, because they all legitimately work. So think to yourself, like, what would my personality fit best with? Because there's going to be a platform for everyone. If you're a writer, SEO is great, and your email list. If you love making videos, TikTok is going to be amazing. If you like kind of doing a mixed bag of things, like I'm a personality type where I have to have like 20 different types of projects going at the same time, or I'm so bored. And so I love Instagram just because there's like such a wide variety of the things that you can do within the platform, which we'll get into all of that. But that's kind of like where I suggest starting off when you're wanting to create a marketing plan, is first identifying what platform is going to work best for you.
What if somebody is a photographer and they just want to post photos? They're a little too overwhelmed with making video content, Instagram reels. Maybe they don't want to show up on stories like with their face. They would rather just have something sweet and typed out. What would be the best for photographers who just want to post their photography work?
I would say Pinterest is going to be a great tool for you, just because that is like strictly photos and it's going to link back to your website. So Pinterest is going to be like bare minimum. I've never met a professional that only had one marketing platform, which is kind of like the next thing that I like to talk about, is I suggest having both a long-term and a short-term marketing tool. So short-term marketing tools, they convert quicker, but they don't last as long. So things like TikTok, Instagram posts. And then there's long-term marketing tools, which are things like SEO or Pinterest. Those serve you for a long time, but they're not going to have an inquiry turnover as rapid as things like Instagram and TikTok. And so I usually recommend kind of grabbing one from both. So having two marketing platforms that you focus on. So a great one to pair with Pinterest is something like Instagram, which you can also pin from Instagram. I know everyone loves to hate on Instagram, but that's usually what I recommend every, like if you're only going to have one platform, have it be that, because you're able to just share images if you want to. If you don't want to make reels, don't do it. And you can just post your captions and your post 3 times a week, use a successful and strategic hashtag strategy, and that's still going to be good enough. You can spend 15 minutes a day going through and interacting with people, so that the algorithm knows that you're someone that, you know, prioritizes relationships. But if you are wanting to be really minimalistic, I would suggest Instagram. And then if you're ready to hop onto something else and you just want to post photos, use Pinterest.
That's really good advice. So Instagram could be more for that consistency, and then Pinterest is for directing traffic to your website. So you're still able to get leads for clients from both, but it definitely should be 2 platforms you recommend versus just one.
Yes. So I usually recommend having like both a long-term and a short-term tool. I also really recommend not having your social media strategy and your marketing strategy be strictly social media. It's another reason why I don't suggest just having one, because what if Instagram goes down? What if TikTok finally gets banned? Like, what are you going to do if you only have one marketing platform and it's something that someone else owns? Google, SEO, email list, those are things that you have a little bit more ownership over, not complete, but at least a little. But that's, you know, a good reason to have multiple in your toolbox that you're utilizing.
The next question I want to ask you, I know you talk about core content in your teachings. So what is core content and how does it work?
I love this question because I think I don't know if you feel this way, but over the pandemic, TikTok got huge. Everyone felt like it was the new Instagram, like they needed to prioritize it in their business. And sometimes you do. Like, let me be clear, TikTok is an amazing tool. However, people I noticed during the pandemic really started to get this idea that like we had to do everything when it comes to social media, and almost felt like we were stepping into this role of social media marketer, regardless of what your business is. And it's one of the biggest like pieces of feedback that I receive from coaching clients or people on Instagram, is that they're just feeling really overwhelmed and like they have to do everything. And so within my coaching, education, what have you, we talk about this concept of core content, which is this idea that you're going to have a piece of content that you create at the core that then branches out into all of your other platforms. So a really good example of this is using something like Instagram as your core content. In order to work on Instagram, you're going to have to post photos at bare minimum with captions. That's if you're doing the absolute bare minimum, but let's say you're willing to like make some reels, make some videos as well. Let's say that you are going to be using like multiple platforms. When it comes to content, there are 3 types of content. There are photos, there are videos, and there's written content. And all of the platforms require one, if not multiple, of those things. So one of the reasons I suggest using Instagram as your core content is it kind of requires all of them. Like, it wants to see reels, it wants to see posts and carousels, and it wants to see captions. So you have this opportunity to sit down at the beginning of the month and batch out your Instagram for the month. So let's say that you create all of the photos, all of the reels, all of the captions. You then have this opportunity, this almost core content, this content bank of photo, video, written content that you now get to pull from for the other tools that you're going to be using for your marketing. So you can take the captions and you can put them in blog posts, or you can put them in your email list. You can take the photos and you can pin them on Pinterest. You can take the videos and you can put them on TikTok. You can put them on Pinterest. And so rather than becoming this social media influencer marketer that creates unique content for every single platform, which a lot of people tend to think they need to do, you get to create this core content that then bleeds out into all of the other platforms. And it's such a relief to both like your mindset and honestly your content to be able to repurpose that throughout the month and get it onto other platforms that are going to market for you, because the likelihood of, you know, your Instagram followers noticing that something also got posted on Pinterest or on your like email list or on your blog is pretty low. Those people are probably all coming from different sources of traffic. So that's what core content is essentially. It's the idea that you get to create a singular bank of content that then gets pushed out to all of your other platforms.
That's so interesting and so such an amazing idea. With the core content, for somebody who's listening and they want to apply this evening when they're off work, they have some free time, maybe this weekend, where do you recommend that they store and like organize the core content? Should it be in a Google Doc? Do you recommend like a spreadsheet or something like Notion or Trello?
It totally depends on like if you're working with a team or not. So if you're having like other people handle your social media, you're probably going to want to have a Google Drive or a different folder, like a Notion document where you're linking to the different videos and the captions and things like that. We personally have Sprout. Sprout is an amazing like social media tool. It's a bit more on the expensive side, so I don't really recommend it to people that aren't running an agency or, you know, that's personally what we do. I have an agency as well that we run, so it's
but it's really helpful because you
get to like create tags and track different data and see what types of posts are doing best, whereas before we were running the agency side of things, we were doing that manually. So once a month we were going through all of our posts, going through analytics, seeing what was performing best and collecting the captions and the photos and videos that were doing best and putting them in a document called best performing content that we pull from when we repurpose things. But when it comes to like month to month, I'm going to be honest, I just keep things on my phone. You can use an app like Planoly where you can go in, upload the photo, upload the reel, upload your caption, and then go ahead and batch schedule. So you kind of have like stepping stools based on budget.
Yeah.
If you want to do things for free, use Notion, use something like Canva to plan your feed, and then just keep your captions in Notion, your photos and videos in your phone, you know, use the Canva feed to know what you're posting and when, and go ahead and do it manually. If you're willing to spend a little bit of money, but you don't have a huge budget, something like Planoly is going to be amazing, or Later. And if you have a larger budget or you're looking to run multiple accounts, Sprout is amazing. But it's definitely on the more expensive end. It just has a lot more data that you can work with, but that doesn't mean that you can't find that data elsewhere. You can still find it in Instagram and use it. However, it, you know, simplifies that process a little.
That is so interesting. And I love how you gave options for all different budgets. So if I was just, I had no budget and I was doing photography part-time, the best way to go would probably be using my notes to store like all the links for the content that I've posted that performs well, and then maybe use Canva. That's actually what I use, is Canva for organizing out my feed. I used to use Planoly and I love it. I just wasn't utilizing all the features where I could justify the price. So for me, Canva, every month I'll have a little, you can create those grids, like the 9 or 12 squares. And then below all of that, like that's the first page. And then I have all of my content underneath that I can just download and I'll do my captions
A comment.
So it's just, I'm all about, I mean, both of us are all about the DIY and I love using Canva. But Sprout, that sounds like such a cool tool, because yes, you do have the agency where you're managing other brands plus your brand of education and photography. So that's a really cool, more advanced tool for those who are further along in their business. I just had a friend text in a group chat today about how she is looking into Sprout. So that's so interesting. Wait, that's how, so funny. And it was literally right before this podcast recording. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe I don't think I have the budget for it or the need, but that's a really cool resource. And it's interesting she brought it up too. Is there one platform that is easier than others to use as core content?
I would absolutely say Instagram. It's like my favorite tool for being able to create so many different types of content. Just since it requires so much, it's a good place to start. But there's lots of ways that you can make content creation easier through that. So like number one, like I said, repurposing content. So we don't repurpose content often. It's not like we're going to post the same content every month, but about every 6 months, you'll see posts get repurposed from like 6 months ago that performed really, really well. And they still perform well because you got to think like we know that it's been reposted because it's our own media and we're so hyper aware of it, but at the end of the day people are ingesting like terabytes of data a week. I know, I'm like, I can't even process what that's doing to our brains, but that's a topic for another day.
We can worry about that later on in life.
Yeah, I'm like, that's future ours problem. But yeah, people are ingesting so much data, so much content, they're not going to notice. And if they do notice, that means they're probably giant fans of yours and they're not going to care. Like, yes. I've had a couple people be like, oh yeah, I've noticed. And I'm like, do you care? And they're like, no. And I'm like, of course you don't, because you just scroll by it and you just move on to the next piece of content. It's legitimately not that serious. So don't be afraid to repurpose your content. The other thing that I recommend is using AI. I have this resource called the Master Marketing Workbook, and it's essentially a workbook with hundreds of questions that you can ask yourself about your brand, about your business, about the way that you have your client processes, like everything to do with your business. There's questions about that you can then answer and make into captions. But one of the things that I recommend for people that hate typing, right? Like some people are just like, I'm not a writer. Like that's not my thing. What I recommend is going into a program like Loom and almost performing like an interview with yourself where you ask yourself the questions and you just talk through the answer. So Loom is a video recording software. So you can like screen record on your computer. You can just record plain videos. You can record videos that are just of your screen if you don't want your face to be recorded. But what's nice is it is a tool that also gives you transcripts. So a lot of transcript services can be kind of expensive. I want to say Loom is free, if not maybe $10 a month. Like it's really inexpensive. And it gives you transcripts. So what you can do is make your way through something like the Master Marketing Workbook, ask yourself all of these questions, grab the transcript, pop it into ChatGPT, and ask ChatGPT to make those answers into captions for you.
When are you getting your second Nobel Peace Prize? Because that is genius. What?
It's a game changer.
Amazing. Amazing. And we were just talking right before I hit record. I was telling Eden about a resource called Google Bard, B-A-R-D. And it's like chat. It is a ChatGPT dupe, but because it's Google's and it's still in beta, but because it's Google's, it is going to be even better for SEO or for someone like myself who has a YouTube channel. Since Google owns YouTube, it also can get really advanced with YouTube, even when it comes to keywords for the video. Or with ChatGPT, I might be able to ask, like, what's a good video title for this? But Google is going to give me titles, not just based on the data that the AI has learned over time, but based on all the data that they have banked in YouTube. So I love that you're talking about record yourself where you're doing a presentation so that you can just kind of capture your natural voice and then have ChatGPT or Google Bard take it and make it more concise and maybe even more reflective of your brand voice. That is absolutely so genius. Oh my gosh.
It's a game changer. I mean, I recorded myself for, I want to say only like 15 minutes, and it still gave me enough resources to create, like, I want to say it was like 3 months of Instagram captions, and that took me 15 minutes of recording. So it took me like an hour total while working my way through ChatGPT. And I'll have to look into Google Bard to know if they have have this option, but ChatGPT, you have the ability to actually upload a brand voice guideline into their program so that they can understand the way that you speak. And then between what you've uploaded and what you've said, you can give it the directions of like, act like my copywriter and use the brand tone within the transcript to make sure it sounds as much like you as possible. But we have also an entire resource called Content is Queen. That's an AI subscription where we just like, I educate on AI and how to use it in your small business. So that's like one of the challenges that we did in there.
I always struggle with, I'm all about recycling my content a little bit too much. And yeah, people don't notice. And if they do, they don't care. They don't mind. But I struggle with coming up with new content because I've been doing YouTube tutorials and videos and Instagram. I've been teaching for years, like 7, 8, 9 years about photography. So I feel like I don't have any new ideas, or when I do have a new idea, I kind of don't know how to get it out there in a way that's concise for short form content, because I'm so used to being able to have long form like YouTube or now with the podcast. So I love that idea. And I think a lot of people do struggle with the short form because it's like, how do I fit all I want to say into this 8 second video or 10 second video or 3 minute, or how do I cut it down what's actually kind of unnecessary to mention and like view it from a outside perspective where it's like, okay, this is just the content to include and skip the rest. Nobody cares. I have to cut out so much. I'm like, nobody cares. I'm telling a story about, you know, this or that, my childhood trauma. It's like, cut it out, cut to the chase, cut to the chase. So I love that advice. So that will be linked in the description. You guys, everything that Eden talks about, if you pop over to the description, it's going to have everything there. Come on now. This is why I'm like, come on, I'm like, your response
is everything. We'll have to do an AI episode.
Okay, come on, professor. What tools can people use in order to automate their social media? So it's one thing to create all the content and to plan it out. But then when it comes to automating, when it comes time to post, it's kind of like, oh, right, I was supposed to share about 4 pieces of content this past weekend and I totally forgot, because that happens to me all the time. So I'm curious to learn, what tools can people use to automate their social media?
One of the biggest things is going to be planning. And that's like one of those things that you just kind of have to like get on board with and be okay with. And if you're not okay with planning and automating, that's okay too. Like, you can kind of fly by the seat of your pants. Like, I'm in this era right now of not automating my social media. I've been getting like a lot of ideas day to day on what I want to execute. And so I've just kind of like been okay with me not automating it.
More real time kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's been like, it's fun for me right now. I'm about to start traveling a ton and we're going to be opening up some old courses that haven't been opened in a while. So like those kind of things I'm going to automate, and I'm going to automate it them by one, knowing that every single month has a theme. So for me, this is my courses. Like, usually we push a course or two a month. And so that's like the theme of the month. But for photographers, it can be something like, you know, senior sessions in May. It can be, you know, engagement season in February, because that's when engagement season picks up with Valentine's Day. But like, pick a certain theme that you can stick to every month. I usually recommend coming up with 6, and you can double them to use them throughout the
year. Maybe mini sessions in September. Like, it's kind of cool because photographers do have a like a schedule almost built in about when people are going to book. So I love the idea of making that the theme for the month.
Yes. So you're going to make it a theme for the month. And then you're going to think to yourself, like, what content can I create or repurpose that falls under that theme? And you're going to rotate through different pillars. So things like behind the scenes, UGC, which is user generated content. So that can be like your clients using your photos or reviews that they've given you. Brand stories, client highlights, like things like that, you're going to want to rotate through. And I usually recommend to people, if you're going to do core content and you don't want to feel overwhelmed with marketing, just post 3 times a week. Like, that's it. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like, you truly don't need to post more on Instagram in order to be successful. You can and get more traction, which is great, but like, you don't have to. It can be 3 times a week and you're going to be just fine.
When you say post, is that going to be in feed, not stories, or would it include stories?
In feed, I usually recommend running your stories like a personal account. That is how I found flows the most like genuinely for me. And our sales never do better than when I actually show up and I just treat it like a personal account. I do have a personal account of my own. And I usually would post like, you know, my day to day and what was going on in my life and artwork I liked through there. And one day I decided to shift over to treating my business account like that, where I was just going to share things that inspired me and what I was doing day to day, things that I was loving. And that created such a bond and relationship with my audience that things perform better naturally. And so I recommend showing up on your stories as much as you feel comfortable. Honestly, you can come up with boundaries. You can come up with things that you don't want to post, right? Some people don't want to post their face. I personally have a really strong boundary that I never show my friends and family. It's like a really hard rule for me that they don't get shown on my business account. You might see their hands or their feet or like me out doing things with them, but you're never going to see their faces. They're never going to be tagged. And because I have those boundaries in place, it's really easy and natural to show up on stories, knowing exactly what I do and don't want to appear on there. So I recommend posting on stories as much as you feel comfortable. But as far as static posts go in the feeds and or reels, I usually recommend like 3 times a week if you're just wanting to do like minimal effort. And so kind of start there and rotate through that core content, right? Schedule it out a month in advance where you sit down and you plan the feed in Canva. You go through, you use the master marketing workbook and you record all of your answers. You throw them into ChatGPT and you ask him to make you 30 captions. You then assign them to the photos or the reels that you've made in Canva. And then you schedule them on Planoly. You have those options so that you can schedule it out in advance. And then you don't have to think about it for a whole month. Like, I know it can be daunting to sit down and be like, let me schedule out a month's worth of content, but it's probably going to take you a couple hours and you could do this the first Monday of the month and then you're done for a month, which is such a relief to not have to wake up daily and be like, what am I going to post today? Right. And if you are more of like a flying by the seat of your pants, like that's what I'm doing right now, I also have such an extensive content bank that I can pull from for reused content that if there is a day where I'm not having inspiration, there's other stuff that I can post and pull from.
Yeah, that is really good advice. And it's almost like you could then, if there's a theme that can overlap, for example, engagements and maybe weddings or something, you could probably use similar captions and ask ChatGPT to just adapt it for the wedding versus the engagement and reuse those, that copy and that content for the, you know, 5 months from now, or ideally too, you could use it for the next year kind of thing.
Absolutely. Like
that might be planning a little bit far for some people, but I know for others, it would be really awesome to be able to have like the next 6 months planned out, and then next Christmas, next holiday season, that content also planned out and scheduled, or at least to kind of start to build out. Maybe for example, you want to start posting Christmas content in November to get people booking their last minute holiday sessions. You would already have that prepped versus scrambling when it comes like, oh, Thanksgiving, oh shoot, I wish I would have promoted more Christmas stuff earlier this month. I love that advice. That is so smart.
Absolutely. And I think too, like what's important to know is like, you can take little breaks. Like if you have to clock out of Instagram for a week, you're going to be fine. Like it's not going to go anywhere. Like give yourself a minute to breathe if it starts feeling really overwhelming, and then get back to it. Like sit down, batch it out. And then you're like slowly but surely, like you said, going to build up a content bank that you can pull from. And that's one of the best feelings in the world, to be able to have like a pool of resources that you can pull from on those days that you're maybe not feeling inspired, or you don't know what to write, or you're not sure what to do. For example, like we have a course called Twin Flames that's about the psychology of selling, and we only open it once a year. And so it's so easy because like I don't have to think of new content at all, because no one's going to remember content they saw a year ago. So now when I have that theme and I have that course, I just get to go into our bank of Twin Flames content, pull from it, repurpose it, and I'm done.
Really good advice. Then when it comes to the automation, have you ever used Meta's scheduler within the Meta Business Suite on Facebook? You can schedule out and have Facebook publish to your Instagram and to Facebook.
Honestly, I try to avoid Meta Business as much as I humanly can, just because I don't like it.
it always changes every week too.
Yeah. I'm like, I swear it's different every week when I clock into it. So I honestly don't love it. I don't use it. And to me, there are other like tried and true resources. That doesn't mean that, you know, who's to say, maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast episode, Meta might have like gotten it together and actually think it's working well. But that might not be the case. And like, that's another thing when it comes to marketing is these platforms are always changing. The way that our audience reacts to things is always changing. So be willing to experiment, be willing to try new things, be willing to try platforms like Meta and see if the post performs well. And if it doesn't, and it doesn't multiple times, try something else like Planoly. But be okay with experimenting, be okay with failing, because that's how you're going to learn what content actually does well. Like we've learned like very recently that our audience like reacts crazy well to like a very specific type of artificial light reel. And it's like exploded on our social media by having like behind the scenes of me teaching artificial light. And that's something that like we hadn't tried before. Like when we tried it a month or two ago, it was very new and I wasn't sure if people would respond to it well. And it took off. There have also been experiments where we've done these things and been like, oh, we've never posted this before and it bombs. And there's no right or wrong, right? Like we've noticed that built out graphics, like quotes and things like that, they do horribly on my page. There are other Instagram accounts that are completely dedicated to that and they do amazing. Yeah. They get billions of likes. And so it's not necessarily that anything's wrong with the content. It just doesn't work with my audience. And so we've only learned what works by experimenting, being okay with trying and failing, keeping up with trends. So like really like one piece of advice through all of it when it comes to marketing is just like, don't take it too seriously. Try to have fun with it. Yeah. Think of it as a game. Think of it where it's something like you get to input information and see what comes out from it and learn from it rather than getting tied to a specific result or tactic.
Going back to some things that perform well and don't, it's always going to change. Cause it's interesting that you said the graphics don't, cause on, I don't remember if it was the last episode or our first one together, but you were like, we were doing, so pulling all our data at the end of the month to see what performs the best, and the tweet cards where it's it looks like a Twitter tweet with the username and the icon of it, a simple quote, you're like, those are doing really well for us right now, so we're pushing that. So it's always kind of a little bit of an ebb and flow, and I love the advice of not taking it too seriously, because when you overthink it, then that stops you from experimenting and posting. Have you ever used, I noticed that within Instagram app, so not the Meta Business Suite, you can schedule your Instagram reels. Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've done that a little bit. And I've also done it for some of our agency clients. And it's great. I didn't notice like that it pushed it more or less, but it's also an option if you're like wanting to design things on Canva and you have the scheduling option and you're like, I don't want to pay for something like Planoly, then go ahead and just like batch upload them into your Instagram, schedule them out. It might take a little bit longer, but at the end of the day, you're still scheduling, you're still batching.
That's good to know. I noticed that a couple of days ago. I was like, I guess I'm asking more for myself. Do you think it works, Eden?
It does work. It works great. Like we didn't notice any benefit necessarily, but also no downside. So again, that's if you're not wanting to invest in like a actual scheduler or planner, that's a free resource that you have to schedule things out.
That's good. Cause it's like when I did the Facebook, the Meta Business Suite scheduler for posts, those flopped. So I'm like, okay, maybe within Instagram, the reel is better. And with Planoly and later, I believe later you can actually schedule it and it will publish it for you, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. And then like Planoly, it will remind you. I mean, maybe now it does publish it for you.
I think it does post for you now. I think, and I'm not positive because I haven't used Planoly in a while, but I know Sprout is the same. You can't connect to the audios. You have to upload the audios separately. So it's a huge pain because like, especially from an agency perspective, like we have to go manually, like upload the sound into the video, post the video like that. Instagram will usually flag the copyright and upload the music for us, but sometimes it doesn't catch it. But you do have to keep that in mind that sometimes, you know, the audio is going to be a little bit different and you're not going to have the chance to scroll sounds like you do in a library. So that's another perk of scheduling within the Instagram app.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by Contractista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. Contractista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts. Okay, this is all so amazing. And I would love if we would end off with what's an action step or two, if you think that they work in conjunction, that somebody should do with this information and implement in their photography business.
Yes. So number one is always going to be like sitting down and thinking about which two platforms sound the most fun for you and like truly the most fun, like something you're going to enjoy. And maybe you hate being online in general, and in which case, I'm sorry, that sucks because you're still going to have to pick two. But pick two that sound the most fun, and then decide what content you can use as core content. So which out of the two tools requires the most content, whether that's, you know, it requires video and photo, or it requires photo and captions, what have you. But choose the one that requires the most content, use that as your core content, and utilize AI. Ask yourself questions, perform, like you can even have like your partner ask you questions and you answer them into the mic. Like you can make it really natural feeling if you don't want to just sit there and talk to yourself. But do that, start batching out your content. I know this is more than two, but I'm like, get yourself, even if you're like not going to sit down and batch your content, do the questions and the recording, and do it for even like an hour if you can, or half an hour, and create a Notion doc of all those captions that you can then go pull from on days where you're like not sure what to talk about. Let's say you wake up and you're like, I want to post on Instagram, I don't know what to say. Great. You have 100 captions that ChatGPT generated based off your transcript just waiting for you in a Notion doc. Like, I cannot recommend doing that enough. It is the easiest way to produce content.
I'm going to do that myself. I'm going to edenstreer.com, find myself the marketing thing, buy the Loom subscription, and let's go. You're going to see, you're going to be like, wow, she's really posting a lot this week.
I'm like, her captions are great.
To wrap it up, where can everybody find you on Instagram, TikTok, or website? And remind us of your one of those freebies so that they can go directly and get that.
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me online at Eden Strader on everything, Instagram, TikTok. My website is just edenstrader.com. I also have a marketing agency called Amara the Agency. So you can find that as well. We do a bit more like web design stuff and social media marketing over there. But I highly recommend going to my website if you're going to go anywhere. That's where all the freebies are. And our fan favorite freebie is our Let's Get Lit. It's an artificial light, a flash photography freebie. So it'll teach you all about flash photography, how to use it, how to use it on wedding days, how gear operates, gear we use, all of that good stuff. So that's a fan favorite. We also have a systems and strategy workbook, which is another great one to sign up for, to help you start systemizing, strategizing, actually using data within your business so that you can start clocking out more.
And you guys could also go and listen to the previous two podcasts as well with Eden if you want even more teaching. Everything will be linked down below, all the resources that you talked about. You can just pop over to the description.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.